We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Thank you, my lords, ladies and gentlemen. Presenting the main bout of the evening, a multi-round contest between, in the red corner, John Amis and Frank Muir, versus, in the blue corner, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Right, we begin. Round one is a bit of a fiddle. John, here is a recording of some passionate fiddling. Who are the fiddlers?
Well, I think one is the one they call in Wales Stefan Grapethli, and the other is the one they call all over the world Yehudi Menuhin.
That's absolutely right. They were about to play a lovely George Gershwin tune called Swonderful, which at the time of the recording, Menuhin kept calling So Wonderful. Let's play So Wonderful. Nice. Yes, Stefan Grappelli and Yehudi Menuhin it is, or was. Frank.
Sir.
Which two musical talents combined to create this across the centuries?
I have no measures to complete the song, but I'm afraid my little lungs will burst before too long. If only I can last the scale, I won't have failed to sing the little bit of waltz.
Right.
I think the screech element was Barbra Streisand.
Yes, that's right. And the composer? Not that he'd wish to own it, I think.
Chopin.
Yeah.
Chopin.
Yes. In fact,
Chopin.
John, it's the end of the...
The minute waltz.
Yes. The end of the minute waltz. Yes, it was Barbra Streisand. You're right. Ian, for you and for Dennis, a singer of a different generation altogether, I'm going to ask you, Ian, to place the song and you, Dennis, to identify the singer.
Ah, so bright, burst her beauty on my sight. Oh, so mild, so divine, she beguiled this heart of mine.
Ian, the song.
Conjures up a wonderful picture, doesn't it, of somebody like Nikolai Gedda, after the opera, deciding to go to a nightclub,
yes,
having sung that particular opera, and hearing that, I think he'd love it.
I think he probably would.
Yeah, I'm sure. The opera is Marta,
yes,
by Flotov.
Yep. Yes,
and it
was updated into this song called Martha, which actually I've heard Wingy Manone. That sounded like Connie Boswell.
Yeah.
Is it?
That's right. It was Connie Boswell with Bob Crosby's Bobcats.
Oh.
And the song is normally known, Ian, as...
Ma Paris.
Ma Paris, yes. That's right. Yeah.
I have a very slight connection with Mr. Flotov.
Have you?
Bully for you.
Because my first piano teacher was his grand-niece, granddaughter,
really?
Something like that.
Did she get you to play that?
To her eternal credit, no.
I've noticed that in opera and operetta, the cast lists often include some rather strange characters. In one of Dvořák's operas, for instance, you'll find a water sprite, a turnspit, and three dryads. Not people you meet every day of your life, unless you're a fish. John, where then might I find a theatre dresser, a high school boy, an animal tamer, and a banker?
Ah. This is Lulu.
Yeah, Lulu.
Lulu, right. Which is an opera by Alban Berg.
Alban Berg's Lulu, yes. Frank, where can I find the Dew Fairy?
In some distant wet grass.
a damp spot.
A foreign field.
Yes. Shall I give you a clue on the piano?
Dew Fairy.
Tiny clue.
Tom Durfee.
There's a clue.
Hansel and Gretel.
Yes, your side has got it.
It's in Hansel and Gretel, Steve.
It's in the forest, you see, when they're, you know, wandering around all
the lost. The Dew Fairy is in, as you say, is in Hansel and Gretel. Ian, where might I find Lady Blanche, Cynthius, and Hilarion?
Castle Adamant, which is the, I think, because they're mostly ladies at the ladies' seminary in Princess Ida.
Bye. Bye. Princess Ida, bye.
By,
courtesy of Gilbert and Sullivan, right.
That's right, yes. The name escaped me for a minute.
Dennis, similarly, where might I find two Philistines?
Well, judging from the letters I get from listeners who like classical music, you're looking at one of them. I don't know. I would, if anybody has written an opera called Carry On Samson or something like that.
Or the Three Philistines.
There's a clue. Ian.
Lean your eyes to sunshine and your smile.
Does it start like that?
Not quite. That's just, I played.
Oh, right.
There's an extra note in.
Samson and Delilah.
It's all right, your side.
Softly awakes mine.
Yes. Here on the music rest of the mighty Broadstein, I have a piano medley. John, Frank, Kensington paper, please. The first four tunes are for you to name.
Go.
John, first one. It even has words. Dum ba da da dum bum bum bum.
Dvorak or
something. No, he came after that. Anybody in the audience know what that's called?
Well, my friends in the front row seem to have it.
No.
Right.
Thank you. It's from the Three Bears Suite by Eric Coates, and the words are, "Who's been sitting in my chair?" Then came John.
Number two.
That's right. Number two.
And you had a composer there, I think, did you?
Didn't notice that.
Can't wait any longer. From the Symphonic Variations by Dvorak. Then, bum, bum, ba, bum.
It's the wedding march.
Lohengrin.
Lohengrin. The bridal chorus, we'll call it, shall we, from Lohengrin. All right, yes, that's a half a mark there. And the last one for you?
12th Day of Christmas.
Yes, 12 Days of Christmas, thank you.
Then came Anvil Chorus.
Well, no, it didn't, actually. And anyway, that's not for you. That's over the other side.
Thanks very much.
Now, what was the first one for you? Bum, bum, bum.
Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. It's L'Alésienne.
Yes, from L'Alésienne Suite, yes.
Who is it?
That's right. Yes, it is. Yes. Then came... Bum,
dum, da-dum. Then, that was the Anvil Chorus.
Yes. From, Ian, please.
Trovatore.
Yes, that's right. Then...
I don't know.
Any idea?
No.
It comes from the Nutcracker Suite, right?
Oh, of course.
Russian dance. And then the last one, Dennis.
I feel so silly when the moon comes out.
Yes, I will give you that, but do you know that's not the title, When the Moon Comes Out? Do you know what the title is? What is the name for somebody who feels silly when the moon
comes
out?
It comes from Armis Gibbs.
Yeah.
Moonstruck.
Moonstruck. Moonstruck. Moonstruck is the title. So you have three out of four.
By Jove, we worked for that one.
Dear me. Please, sir. Yes, sir.
In case you don't
pay
tell
me you live next door to Armis Gibbs.
Just in case you don't play any Lohengrin for the next 17 years, I had a rather sweet story, not the famous one about the next swan, but you know that Lohengrin is all about this chap who arrives, this knight, and he never gives his name away. And there are three acts and about 7 hours music before he finally tells her what his name is. Well, there was a very famous Hungarian tenor, but he was inclined to drink a bit. But they kept up with him because he was such a marvellous singer. He arrived one day, got off the Swan, and they thought, is this one of the nights or isn't it? No, it seemed to be fine, and he sang beautifully. But then he went up to Elsa, the heroine, clicked his heels in Beth Gardman fashion and said, Lohengrin!
Yes. Yes. It's like saying Rosebud right at the start of Citizen Kane, isn't it? In an earlier edition of My Music, I remember asking each of you what you thought was the most beautiful sound in all music. Not necessarily the best piece of music or your favourite, but the most beautiful sound. I played a little of my own nomination, which was the Miserere of Allegri, which on the recording by the choir of King's College, Cambridge, brought in so many letters that the postman lost patience with me completely. Well, on a slightly lower level, I had a letter from Phyllis Tucker of Wimborne in Dorset, who wonders what you would nominate as the nicest form of music. For her, it's the sound of cowbells on a Swiss mountainside. For you, I wonder what, the nicest or perhaps the most evocative sound? John?
You want an evocative?
Yes, an evocative sound, perhaps musical or tone. What?
Well, there are so many sounds that are evocative, aren't there?
Just one for the mark, John.
Well, when I'm feeling hungry, perhaps the sheep out of Don Quixote.
Oh, yes, in the Richard Strauss score. Yes, complete with the mid-source. Frank, you've had a bit more time to think about it. An evocative sound, favourite? Nice.
Well, I was a rector of St Andrews University, and I used to go to the university chapel on Sundays when I was up there, and many, many times a hymn used to come up, which was the tune was an air from Handel's Judas Maccabeus, and on the last verse there was a soprano descant. Which soared, absolutely soared, like fireworks or silver birds or something. And it was so beautiful, and so something. I used to sort of laugh out loud and almost cheer with pleasure.
Yes, a good descant is a very lovely answer, really. Yeah. Ian, nice sound, evocative sound?
If we're just talking about something nice that sort of puts a smile onto your face and would be evocative for me as well, is an artist that's already been mentioned on this programme, a chap called Stefan Grappelli. Because when I was a boy, I used to hear records of him with Django Reinhardt playing the guitar, and immediately this was a sound, it was a cheerful sound and a wonderful rhythm.
I was his pianist, I used to work in his band, and I still like the sound of his fiddle playing.
Yes, yes.
Dennis, evocative, nice sound.
There was an awful urge to say bagpipes receding into the distance. In the sense of memory, evocative in a very wide sense. Long time ago, we did the kind of sister program to this, My Word, at Cambridge. It was the first time I'd ever been to Cambridge. I don't know if Frank remembers this. It was the most gorgeous summer evening, and we, before the program started, we had a drink at a hotel which had lawns that led down to the river, and on the river there was a boy and a girl in a punt who were floating away in the punt with a gramophone, or before they were record players, I think, and as that sound received, that open air sound of a record player on a river on a summer evening and slowly going away. And that's one bit of music I've never forgotten.
Yes,
very Wagnerian.
Very, very evocative. I have the advantage over you all in that I can actually, knowing about this, I can pick a bit. The most evocative sound for me would have to be birdsong, and for me it would be this. Frozen Northern Wastes, the song of the great northern diver.
What's that? What's that? While you were playing that, I said to Frank, a bittern? And he said, Danke schön.
Oh, lovely. When I really want to boast about you four and my pride in you, I tell people how you can identify a piece of music from just a single chord. Oh, you all know, for instance, what begins like this. Yes, the audience knows as well. The Wedding March. What you got wrong not long ago was the occasion on which the two most popular pieces of wedding music occur. And Jack Jennings wrote to me from Hereford to say, in verse, I heard my music on Wednesday night, an interesting programme for us, but the couple go down to the wedding march and up for the bridal chorus. I think it was you, Frank, who went the wrong way along the aisle to the sound of the wrong piece of music.
Interesting poet.
I had a feeling you might get even. John, a single chord and from the middle of something, but I think it's identifiable.
I think it's what?
Identifiable. Oh. Listen.
Yes. Pictures at an exhibition.
Yes, it does work, you see, yes. Catacombs from Pictures at an Exhibition. Yes. Partly the chord itself, but also, of course, very much the scoring, the way it's voiced between the brass instruments. Hmm. Frank, yours is really only one chord with one word, but I've added a bass run just before it. What does this come from?
The Last Night of the Proms.
Yes. It might well
Rule
do that.
Britannia.
Yes, Rule Britannia by Arne, that's right.
Arne, the great Dr. Arne.
Yes, there's a wit in Trumpington, Cambridge, wrote to say Casey would waltz with a strawberry blonde and the band played Arne. Right? Yes, right. Ian, for you, a single note from Harry Secombe. The song, please.
Through my dreams and...
You're more in tune than he was, actually.
Yes. There's a wonderful story about Harry in a show called Pickwick, when these chest radio mics had just started coming in. And he had this thing on, and they hadn't realised that they were on the same frequency as the planes coming into Heathrow. And this poor captain, you know, all the way from New York and just on the last bit and expecting to be talked down. And he was getting, if I ruled the world!
I have to tell you about how the only time I ever met Harry Secombe. We shook hands and he looked up at me and he said, I used to be like you, you know, but I was struck by a lift.
What a gorgeous man, Harry. Yeah. Dennis, who is this singer? You'll hear a whole introduction first, very nice one actually, and then one word. I'd also like the name of the song too, please, if you can manage it.
You should like the name of the album.
Yes, all right, yes.
Only the Lonely.
Yes, and the song?
The song is Spring Is Here, Rodgers and Hart.
Yes, here, yes. The word, of course. The chord helps you as well, you know.
Yeah.
Spring.
Well, you know, once the voice came, I was just singing Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
It could almost come out of Troilus and Cressida of Walton, couldn't it?
I thought that, John. Well, held me back.
Yeah.
Written music is littered with foreign words, or what we in Britain think of as foreign words anyway. John, what does calando mean?
What it means, kind of dying away, but what the actual derivation, what it means in Italian, I don't really know.
No, it means slowing down and dying away, and here's an example from the Haydn Symphony. Foreign terms again. What is Sprechgesang?
What?
Sprechgesang.
Spracht is Sprechgesang. Speech.
Yes.
Gesang is singing. So. And it's...
Why can't a woman be more like a man?
Yes. Would you like to hear the original? Here's the original.
always makes the day begin. I've been accustomed to the tune that she whistles night and noon. Her smiles, her frowns, her...
You use the same technique sometimes in singing, don't you?
Just occasionally. Occasionally.
How kind of you to say so. It's a technique perfected by Rex Harrison of speaking to music.
Perfected perforce.
Yes.
Ian, how would you make a Scotch snap?
Well, there's various answers to that. But perhaps the most decorous one would be to say...
Yes. Da-dum, da-dum. A short note followed by a long note. Don't get nationally carried away, please.
Nothing great.
Dennis, looking up musical terms in an old encyclopedia, I was delighted to find a reference to something called a vis-a-vis. What, Dennis, is a vis-a-vis?
Well, I can only think that a vis-a-vis is like a sort of face-to-face thing, yes, which you used to get in early television when the cameras were such that they didn't have any kind of depth of focus. So people singing duets used to literally touch noses together when they wanted to do it. Actually, I heard a good musical expression. I'm trying to think who told me that a singer said that the best condition to singing is blotto ma non troppo.
I've never heard that.
Yes, that's
very nice. Blotto is the same as pizzicato.
In case anybody should want to know what a vis-a-vis is, it's two pianos or two harpsichords constructed in a sort of rectangle so that two players are facing one another. They are, in fact, vis-a-vis. Well, that completes the viciously competitive part of this week's proceedings. The contestants now relax and offer their party pieces, which this time consists of one answer and three questions. John, how sweet the answer, a song, I think, from Ireland.
How sweet the answer echo makes to music at night. When roused by lute or horn she wakes, and far away on lawns or lakes goes answering light.
I can't remember any more of it. The remaining songs are all questions, beginning with Frank's Can't We Talk It Over?
Ah. Clambering out of a cold. Can't we talk it over? Let's talk it over before you tell me you're through. Can't we sit together and figure whether this is the right thing to do? I hate the thought of spending nights all alone, missing the thrill of nights that we've known. Can't we talk it over before it's over, before you whisper goodbye forever? Let's talk it over, dear.
Dennis's question was an early Tin Pan Alley example of black humour. Ain't it grand to be blooming well dead?
Look at the mourners drinking my whiskey. Ain't it grand to be blooming well dead? Look at the florist counting his profit. Ain't it grand to be blooming well dead? We come from clay and we all go back one day. So don't throw a brick, cause it might be your Auntie May. She's laughing her head off. Ain't it grand? Can't we talk it over?
Ian, it seems ages since I asked you if you knew this song, and you not only said yes, you said yes indeed. Can I forget you?
or get you, or will my heart remind me that once we walked in a moonlit dream? Can I forget you, or will my heart remind me how sweet you made the moonlight seem? Will the glory of your nearness fade as moonlight fades in a veil of rain? Can I forget you when every night reminds me how much I want you back again?
Lovely song by Jerome Kern, with words incidentally by Oscar Hammerstein, the same Hammerstein who later teamed up with Richard Rodgers. Talking of teams, our teams have battled this week to a victory. Very tiny one. 4. Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.